Hi, guys, and welcome back to a brand new, very special episode of Anime Podcasters. Today, I am here for episode 2 of our anime music mini-series, once again joined by music enthusiast and anime almost there nerd, Caduce Gordon. How are you, my friend?
That may be jumping the gun, but I will accept this title for today because it's my job.
My job. This is a series, a mini-series that we're doing, a 3-episode mini-series where we break down and analyze the music in different anime series. The first one was Death Note. At the end of that episode, I told Q, let's do Terror and Resonance, question mark. He said no. I said Attacking on Titan, question mark. He said yes, and here we are. Very excited to break down this music with you. We've just finished listening to a bunch of the music in Attack on Titan. And what we do here is really analyze and dig deep into the music. We also go over it in broad strokes because this anime has so much music, man. It's like,
oh yeah,
we'd be here all day. We'd be here all day. You know what I mean?
Well, I think we're going to kind of like approach this one differently because I'm going off the cuff. Like, I've just heard this music for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen, as of this moment, I have seen episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
Of the show,
mm-hmm.
And I will probably like get into the show. Like I could see myself getting into it because I love the premise.
Yes,
the premise is a bunch of guys that look like the cover of that Tool album, Lateralis, are like attacking a city, and that's one of my favorite albums. So I was immediately down with this concept. Go. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, I was like, is that a deep reference?
I'm nerd music enough to get on board with that.
Hey, if you've been to MIA and you've studied under Jay, you know who Tool is. Like, he has inevitably given you the speech, be like, listen, honey pies, this is the production gods of the prog metal world.
Let's wait no longer. There's so many good songs to start with. I don't know which one. We don't even need to start with a song, I think. I think we can agree. We listen to a playlist of the openings, and then we listen to a playlist of like original soundtracks that are within the series. First impressions when you listen to the openings, specifically the openings.
First impressions, I obviously on the superficial level, it's very clearly in line with a lot of anime in terms of like we're talking about epic orchestral metal material.
Mm-hmm.
However, unlike the other anime soundtracks that I've heard, there's like certain tangents that it takes in weird other directions for very short periods of time, and I was not expecting that at all. And it's very like hyper, it's very like ADHD in the way these things are structured, because usually like a transition of that caliber is something that is like built up to and it's kind of like unfolded as the song progresses, but the way they will genre hop within one piece is so like, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and they just like jump rapidly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like I had to get used to it. Like, it's very disconcerting in the beginning.
May I add discombobulated?
Discombobulated is a wonderful word. It is top 5 words that start with D, and you know, like derogatory, deliberate, dashing, you know, there's a lot of contenders, so I appreciate discombobulated.
So I think what you just said, where it just takes a random direction for half a second, I feel like the first
that's how I conversationally operate, is that
no, when you were describing, when you were describing the music, I think that the first time I noticed you noticing that was when one of the openings just went into a bass guitar solo.
I started laughing, yeah.
With finger picking bass lines.
It was like aggressive slap bass that was some, I don't even know how you do that. It must be that Victor Wooten thing where, and I bet a lot of people are going to know what I'm talking about because there's a lot of famous videos of him kind of demonstrating his classic like Wooten technique of rapid slapping where he'll go down with the thumb, you know, pull with the pointer finger, pull with the middle finger. So you get 3 consecutive slaps and you got like bucketa bucketa bucketa.
Yeah.
And then he'll just like run his finger along the fretboard doing like bucketa bucketa bucketa. Like, it's just like these rapid triplets. And I mean, if he had no videos out there explaining the technique and you were just trying to reverse engineer how he was doing this by listening to it, I wouldn't even know where to begin. It's so wild to listen to. And it's become popular in kind of like heavy, like the heavy metal music that you hear in anime, like the speed metal, like sort of really like power, like adventurous kind of sounding metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been, you know, a guitarist like Tosin Abasi.
I don't know who that is.
He's a guitarist of Animals as Leaders. And that's not the type of metal he makes. It's more like jazz fusion. But like those worlds are like sort of bleeding together. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. they're especially with a soundtrack that's as this like genre hopping as it is.
Yeah, it's very genre hopping. No, I see what you mean. I feel like the other thing too that I'm noticing now that you describe like how the music is like genre hopping is emotional impact. Because Attack on Titan is one of those shows where the characters are constantly on the brink of emotions, on the highest of highs, the lowest of lows.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a show where like humanity gets devastated by Titans.
High stakes.
Very high stakes. Show. Very yeah. high stakes. And I feel like the way you're describing the music and how it just changes. Like that's what a fight is in Attack on Titan. Like
yeah.
for one second, the humans got the upper hand. The next second, the Titans got a human in their hands and is about to crush it. It's like,
yeah, it's like it constant, goes like the, rapid adapting. You know,
the catastrophe of it is what I'm noticing when you describe that. Like, I just feel like the music is always impacting the emotions. Mm-hmm. I feel like the role of music and other, like when we talk about Death Note, we're like supporting the storyline. Yes, it does that, but the way it does it for this series, bro, versus like Death Note, is the emotional impact of the music. Yeah. I really feel that. There's like I want to point out there's one song, Vogel I'm Kaufig, which I've actually covered. We're talking about that really like orchestral slow song that we played in the original soundtracks where I pointed it out to you. I was like, this is one of the few
mm-hmm.
of the ones that we listened to where it's not like a high speed metal energy thing to it. It's,
yeah. Well, you got to break up those speed metal songs.
This song does that
it would
so
be
well.
So overwhelming and eventually like you would kind of start to tune it out if every single song was the tempo was just
absolutely.
Like that breakneck and
absolutely.
That, you know, overwhelming.
Absolutely, man.
So I like you got to throw something a bit more atmospheric in there. You got to break up the speed.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, it's not easy to throw completely disparate aesthetics into one piece without being corny. You know, it's like it's a challenge from a composition angle. Like the very first piece that you played for me, I didn't write that in the title, but I wrote down here Deep Purple-esque organ solo section.
Absolutely.
Are you familiar?
The name of it, Gurren no Yumiya.
Okay.
Which in English apparently is Crimson Bow and Arrow. And other little thing maybe I should specify for UQ is that these openings, they're all songs that previously existed from different bands, right?
Oh, these are covers.
No, they're not covers. They're like an original release song from a band that is used as the opening.
Oh, so the producers of the show approach these
like,
musicians.
Yeah, that's how like anime openings typically function.
Hmm.
So, but that's what's interesting. Like, it's maybe it was composed for the show in a sense because it matched with the energy of the show.
Right.
But it wasn't like, okay, we're making Attack on Titan. Let's compose the song. You see what I mean?
Yeah. It was not like they were not hiring writers to like sit down and make a score. They were like,
I think
using
it just got
pre-existing music.
For,
okay.
Yeah.
So, whoever the music supervisor is who was in charge of that decision must love Deep Purple because that solo was right out of like. The classic John Lord era, like he's the name of the organist in
Absolutely.
Deep Purple.
Okay.
He was like just like ripping on like a Hammond, just like slamming. You know, I don't even remember what it's called. If you just like drag your finger across the board for like
yeah,
fills,
yeah, yeah.
It was full of stuff like that.
The glissando effect.
That's just yeah, like distorted Hammond. That's
yeah,
just
yeah.
classic. Like
yeah,
there's so many records that I love that use that sound, and I was not prepared for that at all because it's a very specific like sort of. Niche like prog scene of like American Brit like the British invasion, you know what I mean, like that era of rock music. So like I was not prepared for that at all in a show from like 2013 that's like based on a manga that's, is it old? Is it like the comic book?
It's at least 15 years old now.
Okay. Oh, so the show and the manga were not like far apart. They adapted it pretty. Okay, interesting.
I know that the manga was very far ahead of the show for a while, and I still think it is.
Are they still going?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, this show is ongoing. Basically, the big meme is they have a final season, part one, and part two. And then final season, the final part, part one, final part, part two, and the final part, part three.
Okay, and they all have their own kind of themes.
Yeah, but basically like the milk. They even have like season two, I think, was in two parts. Like season two, part one, season two, part two.
But the main theme stays through the whole show, right?
No, it changes from season to season. That theme is only for the first season.
Okay. Because I was, for some reason, with that melody, I was thinking about like that Michael Jackson song. What is it called again? It's off of Bad.
I forget. The melody, the name's not coming to me. But I wanted to go back to the organ solo thing, though, that you were describing. Because this is another thing that maybe is interesting to you. This anime, for some reason, made me realize that like you have TV-sized versions of songs, and then you have the full-length versions of songs.
Oh, they do edits for the
edited version, the TV version doesn't have this organ solo.
Yeah,
but this organ solo, when we listen to the full version on Spotify, bro, it slaps so hard.
They've got all these like extended solos, and it sounds stupid if I just like explain this verbally. When you listen to it, it's kind of like fun and cool, but like we just talked about the organ solo section, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within the literal same song, there's that Prince type of like funky slap bass section.
Yes.
And still within the same song, there's like choral moments of like big epic quiet. You remember Duel of the Fates? You remember that song from The Phantom Menace with like Darth Maul is fighting Qui-Gon Jinn?
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic.
Throw on some Melodyne, but
definitely auto-tune that and then delete it. But anyway,
we'll keep it raw.
I mean, I don't want that algo, that copyright thing to come after us. After you went through all the effort to make all these covers so that we could have material to space this conversation out, we still get claimed. I apologize in advance if that does happen.
That's hilarious.
Not Darth Maul ruining our podcast once again. Anyway. But so like within the same song, we have like those things that oil and water, I will
absolutely
say.
Absolutely. Oil,
like,
and water. Yeah.
But it just makes sense in the show.
Right.
I'm assuming it makes sense. I haven't seen the episode that uses that specific piece, but like having seen the first episode, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. And I'll tell you why it makes sense is because correct me if I'm wrong, but the theme of the show, from what I could tell from the first episode, is like, facing absolutely impossible odds. And I think the size of these, like the Titans, is like, it's literally just because they're a threat, but it's, I think, also symbolic, where it's like, how can something so small take on or challenge something so huge? It's like representative of the whole like spirit of the show. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say that's accurate. Yeah.
Impossible odds, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like how in Lord of the Rings, there's all these like awesome, strong, badass warriors and elves that are talented fighters and stuff. But mm-hmm. what takes down the bad guy is a little hobbit who's like and his gardener friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's the small that defeated the big. So that's like a theme that kind of crosses over with. And I love that. Like I love that idea. And the music, in my opinion, kind of reflects that concept, because the heroic tone of the music, it is evocative of that. It's like, even though our chances are zero, we're just gonna like charge in and like try anyway. Mm-hmm. It has that like rousing type of emotion in it.
No, it does. It absolutely does. And I feel like the other pieces we can get into here. Oh, there's so many. I mean, the thing is, you're gonna find a little bit of that in every single song. Every single song is going to have a little bit of that, absolutely. There's also another one I wanted to get into called Red Swan. It's from Yoshiki, and it's Yoshiki, the opening theme for season 3, part 1. And this is another one of we listened to it. It wasn't that mixture of openings. This is another opening track. And I feel like what this one brought that was a little bit different from the other ones is that there was a certain, I don't want to say it's slower or faster, but just like rhythmically, I just felt like a different type of impact. I felt like it was not a normal 4x4 thing. It might be in 4x4. I couldn't even tell when I listened to it because I was so just
the
drawn.
Time signature was kind of like disorienting.
I just felt disoriented by it. Okay. Bro, it's the kind of thing where it could have been just a regular straight BPM thing, but you are going into like those rich vocals. That's the other thing. The vocals chorus so well in this. Mm-hmm. I felt textures and textures and textures. Like I felt textures when I listened to this music. And what I mean by that is that for the non-musical anime music nerd that is currently listening right now, when I talk about texture, you know, I'm talking about the layers of all these elements coming in together. And it really goes to a point I said earlier before we recorded, is that I feel like the music in Attack on Titan is so massive. When you look at the instrumentation, like I took some time when I was bored one evening and I just look at like, oh, I wonder what the Attack on Titan orchestra looked like. And you looked at like 12 different like violinists, 14 this, 25 that. They had like two different percussion sections. It was ridiculous. It was the amount of musicians involved in tracking this is...
It was like a Wagner style orchestra where it's like double the... you know,
double what you need. And it begs to what I said said before we recorded is that like this music is so wall to wall. It makes me think of Star Wars and how drenched in sound you are when you listen to music from Attack on Titan. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. We were we're talking about Star Wars and we're talking about wall to wall score. And I was about to say I think the moment in Hollywood that sort of all changed is when like they started scoring things a bit more, instead of having themes, instead of having like da 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 da, you know what I mean, where yeah. Like everyone leaves the theater humming the theme and that's part of the appeal,
right?
They put the music there just as wallpaper. You're not supposed to notice it, you're not supposed to think about it, you're not supposed to get stuck in your head.
No,
it's like the perfect example that I love to use is Batman, right? Batman 1989, Danny Elfman, right? He did a score for that. And it's singable and it's super, super memorable. You're like, da 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 da. You know what I mean? Like, it's everyone recognizes that and think, ah, The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But, and I love the Christopher Nolan Batman series, but like, sing the music.
You know what I mean? Right, I see what you mean.
You sit someone down and you're like, how does that song go? They'll go like, I mean, like, I remember loving it, but like, it just goes like the strings are just chugging. They can describe the music and they remember how it made them feel because it goes with the scene perfectly.
Right.
But there's nothing hummable and catchy about it. It's not memorable and it's not designed to be. So it's two different styles. They're both valid, but I do miss that old school, like old Hollywood type of like Spielberg, Lucas, John Williams era of approach to a score. And I think that's probably what Attack on Titan, like, whoever's in charge of that is apparently leans that way as well, because like you were saying, wall to wall, not a lot of moments of silence to, you know, like just...
Well, you do have some silence. Like, it definitely gets into those sad moments where it's just like, there's nothing. Just,
right.
Like, there's just like a wind.
Yeah.
And it's that can be before the storm.
It can be equally effective to just mute the score. For a scene,
yeah,
he's absolutely. Like, what are we gonna do for this? How do we make it sadder? Play sad music? No, just nothing. Like it draws your attention in and it tells you something important is about to happen when the score
right.
just drops out.
Right, absolutely.
Like that whole Batmobile chase, not a sound, not until the truck flips over. Do you ever hear a single musical note? It's just like driving sounds. You hear the explosions. You hear people yelling. No music, and it works. Like it makes you, it sets it apart from other type of action, which I think is a cool thing. But yeah, here's a question. It is not as much about Attack on Titan as it is about anime soundtracks in general.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Death Note last time.
We did,
and yeah. It is, I was also with that mentioning the sort of like multiple genres sort of thrown into one song, like very like quick switches and stuff. Why is that a thing in anime? I know it's a very maximalist genre of entertainment anime. It's very like loud, quick, fast, intense. It's not a lot of like underspoken or understated.
I think it depends. I think it really depends. Attack on Titan is one of those few animes that really leans hard into that. Like, I think it's probably the one that leans the hardest when I think about that. The reason why is that I feel like I kind of hit on it earlier was Attack on Titan is very high pace, and when there's fights and when there's actions, there's like you can very, very quickly see one take the lead over another, and I feel like the music lends itself to that, where you switch pace, you switch who's in the lead, and there's always some sort of intense action going on. Like I can think of, like, for example, how spoilerly can I get here with you, because I know you didn't watch anything really, so I can't get. Okay, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna name any names.
Okay.
Well, there's one character in Attack on Titan that's like just known to be that guy who like can just like destroy Titans, like, okay, has the biggest Titan killing ratio ever, like, right, has the probably the record for most Titan kills. Okay, he's just like indescribable. He's there, he's not there, the Titan's already dead, he's across the map, like, he's just that fast, he's just that incredible. And there's one Titan that kind of gets a rivalry with this character, and we see them repeatedly fight, and it's the music when that happens. Oh, yo.
Pull it. All the stops.
All the switch ups, bro. Every little avenue, corner of a note is going to be revealed. You just feel constant switching, constant pacing, constant rhythmical change, and melodical structures that come together, fall apart. When you're thinking left, they go right. Like, it's just...
Would you say like this is among your like favorite anime soundtracks? Is it up there for you?
Yeah. I feel like in this moment right now, I'm realizing how much I'm in love with it. The more I'm talking about it, the more I want to keep talking about it right now.
Do you remember the name of the composer? I want to shout him out. Like, you said it's a bunch of different.
It's a bunch of like, different ones, okay. But like if you, we can get into that specific if you give me.
Yeah, I just like to, like when I'm talking about people, I like to, you know, like shout
absolutely
their name out.
Absolutely, I completely understand that.
Yeah, I will say this about, like, there are moments that work for me and there are moments that don't work for me, but what is consistently there when it comes to these anime soundtracks and, like, music, like, that's executed in that way in general is the mixing is always literally perfect. You know what I mean? Like, there are K-pop songs that I've heard where I'm like, this is mixed better than, like, the regular pop that it's kind of imitating,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't know how to explain that. It is... Might just come down to a budget thing.
It could be a budget thing. I could picture that. I could picture that being a budget thing.
But what is with that part of the world that they're like every mix that comes out of the whole continent? I'm like, why is it? They're all so clean. They're always so pristine. The snares punch just in the right way. The bass sits just right. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you something.
What's up?
I have a story in my professional life that I've never said on any podcast, not even SoundSpace.
Oh, here we go. This is an exclusive, Abigail. This is an exclusive.
No. But I feel like this sits so perfectly in what we're describing. And I can actually use, like, it's one of those few moments where I can use my professional experience and anime podcasters in the same moment. I was an assistant for a session at a studio I worked at. And there was a mix session for a Japanese band. And it was... the biggest patch I ever put together on a patch bay. Dude, I am not kidding. I use every single insert. I've used every single piece of outboard gear. I use every single cable. It was ridiculous.
Was that on their request or was that you kind of like, there are so many members, there's so many parts to this that
we had
need to.
We had to. Okay, yeah, okay. We had to. There is no other way to put it. Like, we used all 48 faders. We used all 48
good
faders.
Good Lord.
Analog. Like, they wanted it mixed like analog. They wanted like...
Oh, so they're kind of old school.
Yeah. And then we were just going through the Pro Tools session and we're just, you know, when you it's Control Alt M and you like minimize all your little tracks, bro, you would scroll for days, bro. Days.
And minimize.
Days. Like,
jeez.
It was ridiculous. Like,
so how long does it take you to mix? That sounds like a
nightmare. I assisted that session. Like, I think it was like 4 days of mixing.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Four full days of mixing. Like, it was just like the first day was like just bringing the faders up and like just, faders up and like just getting a balance was like the first day, and then
was this done to tape too?
No, not to tape.
Okay,
because
That would just be like an extra.
That's ridiculous. Like, insanity. That's ridiculous. But and then I remember it's like the mixer was just like, yo, what what is with this song? It's like, I'll tell you what this song is. This song is Everything at Once, Everywhere. Like, that's what that song was.
Was this before the movie came out? Because, like...
I don't know. It was in 2020.
Oh, okay.
So...
Oh, right around the same time then.
Oh, well. It was like summer 2020. Like,
oh, what am I saying? The movie was a year ago. Never mind.
But you had guitars. You had, like, and when I say guitars, I mean, like, you had, like, 12 guitar tracks. When I'm saying bass, you had, like, a slap bass, a electric bass, an acoustic bass, a synth bass, arpeggiators, pads, drums, and none sequences.
Of the, all those basses, none of them are, like, stepping on each other's toes.
No.
Or, like, occupying the same sonic space.
No.
Were they kind of just, like, unison, like, playing with each other, like, layering in the same tones?
I think they were. Okay. So I think that obviously
that,
helps.
That I could see working. Like, that's, like, the classic technique, Quincy Jones on Beat It, you know what I mean? Like, he just layered, I think, four different sounds in
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely. There was a lot of layering. And I felt like I really learned a lot. And that's when I was, like, maybe three, four years into, like, doing, like, the anime thing fully. And I just was like, you know what? I want to go even harder at this because I see what the music from that country is. Like, that was my closest experience to music from over there, and I fell in love with it. I couldn't believe it.
Were you kind of nerding out because of, like, all of the soundtracks that you heard at that point?
Absolutely.
So how many members are we talking here?
How many tracks?
Was how many band members? Like, was it like a Slipknot type of format where it's about nine
guys? I don't know how many
band
members. I didn't know who the band was. I can't recall who the band was exactly now that I think about it. But I just remember, like, hundreds of tracks. Like, all into groups, and the groups would go into, like, different channels of the SSL.
So once it was done, like, did you get the chance to listen to the final product?
Absolutely.
Like, once they had, and you were, like, happy with, like, you were impressed?
I was so blown away that the studio that I worked there for those like that whole year was like a sequence of mind-blowing moments, you know, like when you learn in school,
yeah,
and then you go there and you, like, see it for the first time, but you see it with, like, the most top-notch equipment, with the most top-notch engineers, with the most, like, highest budgets of things. Like, that place just, like, consistently blew my mind. And what that
Planet
was one
is
moments.
Like, among the nicest studios
I'll shout out Planet Studios
in
Planet
Canada.
Studios yeah absolutely. But to come back to our horses here a little bit,
yes,
the name of the composer, because at your request, Q,
of course, yeah.
Hiroyuki Sawano.
Damn, that's a pretty cool sounding name, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
From one to another, Hiroki. You know what I mean?
So, respect. Yeah.
Anyway, so I was thinking about this. Having seen the first episode, and spoilers for that episode, if someone here is, like, not ever seen any part of the show.
Like, for that one person.
For that one person in your audience.
Craig.
Yeah. I mean, your audience doesn't watch anime, right?
Right. No.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why we named the show Anime Podcasters, knowing no one would watch anime.
Yeah, that's what you want. So I saw the scene where he sees his mom get, like, devoured.
Absolutely.
And I was like, it was one of those things where, like, it was very fucked up to see. And the visual of, like, the expression on the Titan's face, it makes it creepy, bordering on funny. You know what I mean? That's the creepiest things out there, is when it's, like, it's almost funny.
Yeah.
Because of the face.
Yeah.
But it's so creepy.
It is beyond creepy. And yo, that Titan has such a significant part of the series.
Yeah.
That's not the only time you see that Titan. I'm just gonna say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say that. Like, that's just fun to know. That's not even a spoiler. That's just exciting to know.
Yeah.
There is a return of music within that as well, and an evolution in Eren as a character. And I feel like the music that surrounds Eren, especially when I'm thinking about, like, the rumbling. The rumbling was that song with the screaming, going back to the singing.
It had so much back and forth in that song. I couldn't.
Like, I love it.
It was whiplash. It was literally tonal whiplash. Like, it starts out, and from the very first second that it started out, I was like, I think this is going to be my favorite one, because it has the heaviness and sort of horror sounding bendy strings in it that I think is appropriate for a show that includes things that are so horrific as like giants eating people. And so it immediately made sense to me as like, oh, this is the type of tone that like I would, if I were writing a show like this or writing music for a show like this, that's the direction that I would go. And then as soon as I was having all these thoughts, it just switched on me to like, literally it switched from like Satan himself is on the mic to like Dora the Explorer. I was like, what? And then yeah. it was kind of like contrast, bro. I think that like there is a pattern of like flipping between extremes that is in heavy music. And I think, you know who I think started it?
Who?
It was like the nu metal era of like Linkin Park going back and forth between like the rapping and then the yelly singing.
Yeah.
And Korn as well, to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
I think those two changed the landscape of things, because they're like, oh, why have one vocal style present when you could have like some alternation happening? Because it keeps your attention more, because it's like maybe you're not messing with one thing, the next thing is coming right along. You know what I mean? It has a broader appeal when you have like two faces to the band.
Mm-hmm.
So like the hip hop, and a lot of people who don't care about rock music, but they're huge hip hop heads and they'll listen to Linkin Park. And I know a lot of rock heads who don't care about hip hop and they'll listen. You know what I mean? Like it has crossover appeal.
Conflict is like the perfect word for that, because I feel like there's so much conflict within Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Like humans versus Titans. And that blurs a lot. Like that is, you think it's like that.
Do you think it has like a good guy, bad guy dynamic within that song?
Yes. It like represents yes. I think group. That, once again, without spoiling, characters that you think would be one thing become another. And that song, if you watched the video to the opening, bro, it's like, it blurs the lines even more. And I feel like The Rumbling is the perfect title, because if you are currently listening to this podcast and you have caught up to the entire Attack on Titan anime, the words The Rumbling have a huge thing going on right now. It's very definitive. And I feel like having a song associated to that thing is phenomenal, man. Phenomenal. So once again, just like a powerful song. I think that song was like one of the most streamed anime songs like the year it came out.
Oh, it was like a hit outside of the show itself.
Yeah. It went crazy. It went crazy, bro. It went all over the place. I couldn't like, it was on my like, you know how you have like Daily Mix 1, Daily Mix 2, Daily Mix 3?
I never really use those.
Okay, so I just kind of, I don't use them. I look at them. Right. Like that song was like in all my mixes. So like, listen to The Rumbling.
You will hear it and you will like it.
Yeah, exactly. What other songs or what other thoughts did you
want to? Well, I wanted to kind of elaborate.
Yeah.
So, I didn't finish my thing.
Go.
So I'm watching the scene where he sees his mom get eaten, right?
Right.
And I was thinking, like, for a show that gets this horrific and graphic and, like, brutal with its drama, why isn't the soundtrack more horror-oriented? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if someone sat you down and they were like, okay, watch this show, you're going to be the composer, and you just watched it with no music whatsoever, wouldn't your brain, I mean, maybe this is me projecting, but I would immediately think, oh, we're going to have, like, let's say if I'm scoring that specific scene, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to have the most like eerie, creepy, dissonant, fucked up sounding choir doing like droney, surreal, like Ligeti type of arrangement. Do you remember 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
Do you remember the monolith scene where the apes are touching the big black rectangle?
I know
the music in that scene is horrific. It's like bone chilling. It's blood curdling. It makes your hair stand up. Mm. And it sounds like pure evil. It sounds like a humanity stripped away. It's one of the most existentially terrifying pieces of music that I've personally ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm hyping it a lot, but it's up there with some of my favorite of all time. That's probably the direction that I would take. Do you think that would be like a complete clash? Because I know that's not like in a typical like anime tradition.
So,
but it's like I was thinking, I was like watching, I was watching what's happening on screen, and I'm like, the music is simply just not as horrific as what I'm seeing happen right now. Literally just being digested by like a giant monster with a big Joker, with a Joker like smile on its face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just nightmare fuel.
So nightmare fuel is a great way to say that. I feel like if you did that, it would get pretty one-noted pretty quickly, because you would just associate Titans with like this horrific type of music. And Titans are horrific in the first season.
Oh, there's a twist on it.
They're a little less horrific, or they're a little more horrific in the second season. There's a huge development with Titans that I feel like associating that type of music would not do them.
It would pull the rug out from what they were doing later seasons.
Yeah. It gets so blurry, bro. It gets so blurry.
You're talking about like morally gray type of...
politically, historically.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Well,
family.
This show has one of those things that is what I love about apocalypse or post-apocalyptic stories,
mm-hmm.
where it has the element of, the outside threat is present and real, but it is the between human bickering that is ultimately, you know, the downfall. And I love themes like that in a post-apocalypse. It's about like trust, paranoia, people, society.
Right.
How does society respond to crisis?
No, absolutely.
That's the general gist. And that's themes that I love. There's a bajillion pieces of fiction that deal with that. Because they're very sort of typical post-apocalypse. Mm-hmm. They're world-ending themes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, the thing is, you also have certain characters that have certain themes. But you have to remember that all these characters all reside in this apocalyptic universe. So they're all going to be a bit cuckoo, to put it bluntly. So I like that element in the music. I find that the music is always pushing a new boundary. When you're crazy, you're going to have to find a way to innovate that. You don't want to be one-noted. And Attack on Titan's music always innovates that. You're... got a limitless potential with the amount of musicians, the talent of the composers, the amounts of layers due to the amount of musicians, and
just the constant switch. Like, 1 second there's like dub. I was saying that while we were listening. It's like 1 second there's dubstep drums, the next there's like acoustic guitar, and I'm like, what is happening? You know what I mean?
And the other thing too, bro. The other thing too, bro, is, you know how we said like, oh, there's like sound design elements in like these songs in Death Note. There's a lot of that in Attack on Titan as well. The Titans, I can't even describe, like, they have this, like, metallic-y, squeaky...
There's a kind of grinding quality to it,
yeah. Texture when you first see them arrive before we get into, like, the epic choral relief because the hero jumps out with their two blades and is about to snap down on that nape, bro. Because that's how you kill Titans. You slice the back of their necks. That's what we do. We get trained for that. We go out there. We get it done. But when they're on screen and they're attacking us, literally Attack on Titan, you need those sound designy, eerie, creepy, ominous elements. Textural elements. They're so textural and they're so gestural as well. I feel like this lends a lot to like the electroacoustic studies I've done. I can see myself like creating those types of sounds when I listen to them. I see it. I hear it. I can feel myself at the console and open up plugins, and like I already have a plugin chain developing in my brain as I say this. Like, that's just the way like my brain goes when I hear these elements. I see them on a spectrogram. I see them like, oh, you the high end, there's a high end sparkle and grittiness that just feels like it's crawling at your bones, and the Titans, they're like humanoid things that just want to eat and destroy, and humans just want to live.
I do love it when Foley generates an actual emotional reaction, like when you have, but most Foley is obviously just like doing, you know, running through the motions of like, well, our character is walking, so we need footsteps, so let's get some footsteps. You know what I mean? Most of it is that. But the fun stuff is the stuff that gets like a legit reaction. Like, remember, Ken was teaching us like, oh, a character punches another character in the nose, he's broken his nose. What's the sound for a broken nose? You take a bunch of spaghetti and you just go like snap it, and then you slow it down, distort it a bit, you know, like, or saturate rather. And it's like, I literally have seen movies differently ever since he said that. I was like, oh my God, it's just once you see like the magic behind the curtain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you have no idea how Foley works and you watch like someone get stabbed and you just hear that gut, you know, sound, you just go, oh, and then if you remind yourself, wait, that's just a guy with a grapefruit just shoving his thumb into it, just making all those like squirting, like gut, you know, blood squirting type of sounds. And that was a challenge for the sound designers on Attack of Titan, because they're killing a titan. You don't want it to sound like a, like you said, slicing the back of the neck, right? You don't want it to sound identical to a human being killed, because it needs some mass to it. It needs some size. It needs some whatever. Yeah, it takes on a different kind of quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wanted to also, maybe stepping a little bit away from the sound design elements within the music of Attack on Titan, but like, I just want to like, I wrote some notes about some songs and I just kind of wanted to hit them. There was one song we listened to an original soundtrack called Counterattack Mankind. And I felt like there was like a strong determination in the melody of this song. I felt like the melody on this one was like, continue, fight. Fight, keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting, fight back, no matter what. The kind of song I could run to.
Persevere, yeah.
Persevere. There's a momentum that doesn't stop.
Do you listen to anime soundtracks while you run, usually?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, I have a playlist.
That makes complete sense.
I have an anime music workout playlist.
Nice.
I've never said this publicly, but I do. And it's the best.
You know what? You know what's the note that I took for that song you're talking about?
What?
I said, gives me the impression of the How to Train Your Dragon score by John Powell, which is one of my favorite DreamWorks scores ever.
That's a great movie.
And you know what? Exactly like you were saying, keep fighting, persisting, blah, blah, blah. There's a beautiful scene where he finally successfully learns how to fly with like a Toothless, you know, like his dragon that he tamed. And it takes on this like heroic, you know, like I bested the odds type of victorious tone. It's beautiful. I think he won like a bunch of awards for that score, because like he had been typically like known for, he did like Shrek and he did like movies like that where mm-hmm. the music was not, the score was not the focus. It was like the licensed songs in the movie that was the focus. It was like Smash Mouth and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
But this is the first time that he broke into, it's like, wow, the score itself of this thing is just like so rousing and so inspirational. I would listen to that while I run. I would listen to that. It running in the rain, I'm like shaking my fist in the air, like, you know what I mean? It makes you want to take up space and win at something.
Right. Absolutely. The other song I wanted to hit was, there's one that I don't think we listened to it, but I'll insert my cover here as well. U C and then all in capitals, big girl / T / T. One of the weirdest song titles I've ever seen in anime.
Isn't that like a Lizzo song?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That was a joke.
And, oh, sorry. Okay. And basically, I just got it. Wow. I just got it. So this song is one that is...
Our girl's in trouble. Let's not shit on her.
This song is one that comes in a very dramatic moment of the anime. And it's got this like piano, just kind of like solo, just boom, mm-hmm. boom. Boom,
like a
boom,
repetitive sort boom, of like riff pattern, boom.
And then you get this like arpeggio that comes in and you're like, what's going on here? And then, to put it very non-spoilerly, this song rips off a band-aid that was very like a lot of suspicion was on this band-aid, like, why is this here, like, mm-hmm. these characters, there's something about them, and it's like, is this really happening, are we really doing this right now? And when this song goes full anime mode, bro, it just goes hard.
Does it go Super Saiyan?
Bro, it goes super.
I now know what that means.
Super Titan, bro.
You hear that, anime fans? Look at me. I'm one of you now. I know it's. That's the most basic reference. That's the most like pop culture.
Good,
right?
Man. It's all good. I think that you're working your way up there. I respect.
You know what? I'm learning.
I'm not gonna knock the hustle.
He says with a mustache.
And I love this song so much, man. It goes so hard, and it's one of those few songs in the series that like is remembered. And it's not even like an opening. It's on the original soundtrack, but you just know that song. You know that song
is because there's a moment. There's an iconic scene happening in that moment.
Super
that
iconic scene.
You know what? That's pretty much what happened. We were talking about Duel of the Fates earlier. That's pretty much what happened with that. Where it's like, which happened? Did the fight and the awesomeness therein make that music famous because everyone remembers that scene, or did the awesomeness of the music make that fight memorable to everyone because
both are arguable. Okay.
And it's like, for me, I lean towards the second because I think that John Williams is just like carrying those movies, you know what I mean, like on like Atlas on his shoulders. He's just like the one holding this up. And I think that an otherwise like, oh, it's like an all right fight, it was uplifted. An otherwise like solid, like decent fight was uplifted by like an amazing score. So it's always like, you know, chicken or the egg, you know what I mean?
I feel like when you say that, you give those two options. When it comes to Attack on Titan and when it comes to that song I was referring to, that Attack on Titan song I was referring to earlier, it's arguable for both, man. The music is awesome, the scene is awesome, and both together they create...
More than the sum of their parts, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like when you play chess. You play a little bit of chess, right?
I used to when I was a kid.
Okay, you know, like the pieces in chess.
Yeah,
it's like the queen. The queen will always be more powerful than a bishop and a rook together.
Yeah,
the queen is more powerful than those two pieces.
Yeah,
and I feel like the bishop can be the music and the rook can be the scene. I think that's actually a good way to put it. But the queen,
they amplify each other. Yeah,
the queen is the overall. So yeah, another we could go all night. Highlighting songs, but I think we're hitting that point where, like, you know, the music here is like, it's so amazing. It's so amazing. Badass. We're like, I like the depth we're digging here. Are there other like elements of the music that you want to kind of tap more into that you wrote down?
I have one more note, and it's very silly.
All right, let's hit it, and then we'll slowly start.
Okay, one of those songs, Riti Kidu. Riti Kidu. I know how I'm probably butchering that pronunciation.
Don't worry about it.
When I listened to it, I was like, this is cool, but I personally started laughing because it reminded me of something very specific, and it is, people are going to know what I'm talking about. It is the moment in a Michael Bay movie when the hero accepts the challenge, you know what I mean? Like, because they always go up to him and they're like, Johnny, we need you. You're the best hacker in this side of town. And he's like, those days are behind me. I don't do that anymore. He's smoking a cigarette, you know? And then he's like, but your country needs you. And then he's like, I don't care. Bleh, I'm a badass. And then the general leaves. And then our hero is like thinking about it. And he's like, damn it. I'll do what needs to be done. So he shows up in the end and he accepts the adventure. The music that is underscoring that point is so reminiscent of that moment in like an action movie. You know what I mean? And it was just like, this is one of those situations where an otherwise solid musical decision is ruined by how overused it became after the fact. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if I saw this and I just saw it in a vacuum, I'd be like, that's awesome. And I wouldn't think about it. But like, it's a guilt by association. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't disconnect. I've seen too many stupid movies that it was so... That's just like a silly little thing that I noticed. It'll probably like with that in mind, like someone out there listen to it while thinking about that, you will laugh. Like it's a funny thing.
I feel like I've pretty much hit all my points. Like this music is emotional impact. Every note, every percussion, every melody, the musical structure, like that's what this. This is why my takeaway from this episode with you today is that this music, although supports the storyline, it's more than just that. It's emotional impact. Emotional impact is exactly what you feel when you listen to these songs in the series. Even when you listen to them on a Spotify playlist, you're like, whoa, this is, whoa, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, How many reactions do you think you had when you listened to like 7 of those songs?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think my buddy Danik, it's his personal favorite anime that he's watched. I think, to be honest, I think it's one of his favorite things that he's watched, like anime or other or else, regardless. I think that's just some of his favorite entertainment period. I think he said he does play it like just walking around, going to the metro and stuff like that. He's like, the music is good enough that you can just sort of sit back and listen
absolutely
to it.
Absolutely.
And there's very few scores that hit that ceiling for me, that like surpass that point where it's like, I do not need to be watching the scene to enjoy the musical prowess on display. You know what I mean? Like I can just appreciate it for what it is. Like generally like soundtracks feel like completely out of place to me without the thing they're designed to be accompanying.
Mm-hmm.
But like I can think of like a hand, I could count on one hand the soundtracks that like are elevated to that point for
absolutely,
me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think like Attack on Titan is one of those. All right, so Q.
Yo.
Where can people find you online? If let's say they listen to this episode, on this second episode of the mini series of
Hell yeah,
anime music.
2 out of 3.
Where can people find you, bro?
I'm on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel. It's just first name, last name, Kudus Gordon, Quddus Gordon. That's it. Link. I just kind of post a lot of random stuff.
Yeah. Link in the description.
Yeah.
And Q. So we have one more episode. We said we'd do one more episode.
We got to decide what it is.
We're doing that now.
We're doing that now. Okay. We're live on. That. All right.
I have propositions.
All right.
Naruto. The music in Naruto is, you can't go wrong. That's a sure shot.
That's the blue arrow on the forehead?
No. Are you kidding me? That's Avatar.
Is that? Oh, I'm
oh
sorry.
My gosh. No.
What? Okay. No. Yeah.
You
Avatar.
You're doing so well.
Airbender.
We could do.
Wait. Okay. Wait. Give me a second. Okay. Naruto is not the blue arrow.
Yellow hair, ninja headband.
What? That they're all like
orange
that.
Jumpsuit. They're not all like that.
Literally, that you just described Dragon Ball Z. It's
no.
Like he has yellow hair. You know, he yells. I know what's going on.
I'm not effing with you right now. I'm not. You think I
okay,
am?
Wait. Okay. No.
Your paranoia is getting the best of you right now.
Naruto.
Listen.
What is the thing? Like he just does ninja.
He's a ninja. Yeah.
Okay.
With a fox spirit.
I don't think I know what Naruto is.
Naruto is one of the biggest animes out there. So Damn. That would be one.
Okay.
I then would propose to you Cowboy Bebop.
Right.
Very jazzy. Right.
Yeah. You told me about jazzy. That one. I do love jazz.
This could be a really cool one to dig into for that. I would say Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer. Okay. What's like the style of music generally in that?
I think it's closer to Naruto than jazz for sure.
Let's do the one that's the most different from the two we've done so far.
Oh, man. Naruto is very different.
And just so for like variety.
So is Bebop. Bebop is very different.
Okay. Bebop sounds like the most different because it's like a jazz-based thing. There's not a trace of jazz in the other two that we've done, so I feel like that's, you know.
But there's Naruto is just on another level. There's rock stuff like that, but it's very eclectic as well. I guess I'm saying this in the loosest way. It's similar in the loosest possible way. It has nothing to do with Death Note or Attack on Titan. It's just not jazz, and that's why it's not. You see what I mean?
Gotcha.
So. Naruto, Cowboy Bebop, My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball. These are all of the ones that are coming to mind right now.
Is the music in Dragon Ball mostly metal as well?
No metal.
No metal?
Very little metal. No, it's very orchestral.
Mm.
Very orchestral.
Okay.
Very, more very, very
traditional.
And soft spots for me, because obviously my first 1,000,000 is a Dragon Ball cover.
Okay, well, so that's like close to your heart then.
It's close to my heart, but you're the guest. And I want to do something that you've... I'm not picking. You're picking.
I gotta listen to these and sort of like decide based on that.
But like, it's okay if we, because last time we said we would do Terran Resonance and we ended up not doing it. So I want like an answer now that's changeable. But I want to like.
Okay. I'm leaning Bebop.
Okay.
I'm leaning Bebop.
Okay. Out of everything I described, Cowboy Bebop. Maybe on the next episode.
Maybe.
Of Anime Podcasters.
Stay tuned.
So for myself and Kudus Gordon, this has been another episode of Anime.
Podcasters.
Bye, guys.
Hey, guys. Hotshot here. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Anime Podcasters. We have over 100 other episodes for your entertainment found wherever podcasts are available, such as Spotify. We also release new episodes twice a month, so keep an ear out for us. You can follow the podcast at Anime Podcasters on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Giant Music's YouTube channel. Giant himself can be found on social media at Giant Music, as well as his own website, giantmusic.com. Kyo, our artist for the podcast, can be found on Twitter and YouTube at GoProKyo, as well as his website, ccartgalleryportfolio.com. As for me, Hotshot, you can find me on YouTube and Twitter at HotshotGinger. As always, guys, thanks for listening to us. Hope to talk to you soon. Take care.